It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azure Talon? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
I'm gonna just do the whole episode like this.
Okay.
No, that'd be very uncomfortable for everyone involved. Should we be marketing our podcast?
Should we be marketing?
Because I'm like willfully anti-marketing.
Oh.
Like, we sometimes get emails from places that are like, we are a new, I don't even know. There's companies that are like, we have podcasts here. And I'm like, podcasts are everywhere. What does that mean? But like they, and some of them I assume are just straight up spam, but some of them are probably real people because they follow up later and I just never respond to any of them because I figured they might be a scam. And also I don't care. I'm happy with the 6 listeners we have, I guess, but I don't know. What do you think?
Well, the thing about marketing is, it takes two things that neither of us are particularly enthusiastic about providing, and that is work and money. Sometimes only one of those. Sometimes all they want is for you to sign up to their service and then they'll put ads on or something. But usually it's both. Usually it's both. If you want a good marketing campaign, you're gonna have to spend money. And
No. I assumed they didn't want good, but I mean, I'm actively throwing away bad. I think one was called Wisdom, maybe.
I don't know.
I mean, they're clearly form emails because our podcast is called The Magical Talking Hat. And so when you just insert that into certain fields, syntactically, it's noticeable.
Well, like I say, some of them are going to be just, you know, they want you to list on their site because people go there to find podcasts and they sell ads to people. So they feel like the more podcasts they have in their directory, the more people will go to their site, the more ads they can sell. So yes, it doesn't even really cost you anything, but still, it's still effort to, you know,
hit reply.
Well,
say, you know, sure.
It used to be you'd have to send an outfit like that some kind of a banner that they'd put on their listing, or I mean, it was a little more work than just sure, list me. You'd have to send them specific information, or even sometimes almost like a code, embedded code or something. I mean, I remember I had to do this for Stuck is what I'm talking about. I would often get contacted by people who had, what they did was they had a web comic directory or sometimes a photo web comic directory that they wanted to list me on. And they would do it for free, but I had to send them all this stuff so that they didn't really have to do anything to embed whatever. I had to send them a banner. I had to send them, like I said, sometimes some code. I had to send them whatever. And I did it a few times. I was on a few directories, but the more stuff they asked for, the less likely I was to send it to them because it was just a lot of work.
I'm going to say 45 seconds ago in this conversation, we hit the max amount of work I want to do. So what I'm getting from that is probably not. It's probably I shouldn't bother.
I mean, the minimum amount of work you'll do is getting back in touch with them to find out what they want from you. I mean, that's at least That's the least amount of work you'd have to do.
Oh,
and then they answer you, and then you'd have to decide, okay, they want money, so no, or they want these five things.
Oh.
Yeah, deciding.
Oh.
Some of them might not want much of anything, just a permission or something to link.
I can't take that chance.
I mean, that's been a long time since I did that stuff for Stuck, so maybe it's different too. I have no idea.
Stuck ever take off, make you independently wealthy?
No.
I didn't think so, but sometimes you just don't mention things. So
I didn't have a way to monitor.
It was a good webcomic, so I mean,
well, it got a lot of traffic.
I assume Stickfa's got a cut.
It did get a lot of traffic, and I mean unique traffic. So it got a lot of readership, but I didn't have any way to monetize it. So people are just coming to read for free.
Unique traffic in my mind is like, it didn't get a ton of visitors, but the ones it got were weird.
I mean, not like bots or, you know.
Yeah.
When you control for the things like bots and things that are constantly visiting your site for some reason.
And I do.
You still have a lot of people that are clearly real people, and they're coming like once in a while to read. So yeah, I got pretty good traffic, and there were a few people that contacted me who ran blogs or websites or whatever that asked if they could, link
stick
to
stuck
it.
On their
yeah. Site. So it was kind of nice to get positive feedback about it. For a while, people were getting there through Wiki because there was a Wiki article and Stuck was mentioned in it. But I don't think that's a thing anymore. So.
Fun fact, the word wiki comes from the Hawaiian term wiki wiki, which means fast.
Okay.
I am 85% sure that is accurate.
Which means I'm not at all sure that's accurate.
Well, I am sure of the second part of it.
Maybe it is.
Wiki wiki is a Hawaiian term that means fast.
Okay.
I believe the term wiki does come from there. 85% of the term comes from there. So W-I-K and the dot of the second I.
Okay.
Come from there. The rest of that I is from somewhere else. I, robot, probably. I, Claudius, something like that. When you combine half fast, half Hawaiian fast, and just the beginning of I, Claudius, you get wiki. If there's anything you can take away from today's episode, let it be that. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat podcast, the only podcast where it's incredibly easy, if you pay any attention at all, to tell whether or not I came up with this bit beforehand or if I'm just winging it in the moment. Guess which one this is. I'm Tony.
And I'm William, and this is episode 575. Sounds fancy.
Does it?
Yeah, it does. 575.
Right. Well, you are the fancy expert in this business we're running. So should we create like an LLC? Like, do you think we're likely to get sued?
Okay, hold on a second. You never invite me to business meetings, and suddenly we're having one right on the podcast.
Yes.
I mean, you and the cats have the business meetings and sometimes the producer. I don't get invited, but now we're having one right here on the podcast.
The cats quit.
Oh.
The producer doesn't want to talk about it, and she's always got papers with her now, but she won't let me see them. So they say crap rolls downhill, and I find myself at the bottom of the hill. So I was just hoping maybe I could dig my way down to you.
That sounds reasonable.
For comfort?
I don't think an LLC is necessary. No.
All right. Don't, if you listen, don't sue us. All right. For those of you just joining us, also don't sue us. We have a hat. It's magical. It has its own email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. People, some of you, it should be more if you really loved us. Write that email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com, with whatever the crap you want. And then the hat magically on its own forwards those emails to us, and we read them on the air, talk about them till we're bored, do that for about an hour. That's the whole show, except the parts that aren't, which is usually a lot of it. This is Trish homemade caftan number 3.
Oh, nice.
She finished it just in time for the weather to get too warm to wear it. Because it's flannel. But I like it. It is comfy. But yeah, it's going to get too warm. Although, what the crap weather.
I know. It's crazy.
Monday we were within spitting distance of 80. This morning on the way to take Trish to work, it was snowing.
Yeah. I mean, it didn't stick or anything, but.
No. But and something it's else. Insane. I don't know what that's about. I don't like it. Pick a lane. Weather. We had the windows open. We had the windows open overnight, two nights in a row.
Wow.
And now I've got the damn heat back on.
Yeah, we've played that game too. Open windows and heat. Or I think one day we even had to turn the air on for some reason. But then it was heat again.
So. We weren't quite there. We have a bit, thanks to our large trees, we have a little bit of a microclimate situation in our yard, which we like. It tends to be a little cooler than across the street, I guess. I don't know. So how was your week?
Let's see.
And for the record, in case you were hoping, as I was hoping, this time would be dedicated to talking about Spider-Man No Way Go Home, Go Over to House. We haven't watched it. We were going to watch it last night. Things went crazy. We will probably watch it this week. So,
I mean, we haven't been watching anything really worth talking about. This week
I'm getting screwed over by Severance.
Why?
Well, I'm still super into it, but I forgot the one rule. No streaming service dumps an entire season at once except Netflix. So when I said there was only 6 episodes, I was wrong. It's still coming out. There's going to be 9. And from what I can tell, there's going to be a second season. And so now I'm still super into it, but I'm like, they're not going to wrap up shit. Are they? They're not going to tell us fucking anything. That's going to be annoying.
But I decided this week, so classes ended last week. I have 3 weeks off, and I decided this week I was going to dig into the DSM, the Diagnostic Statistical Manual.
Yeah, that's what you should do when your school's out. Yeah.
I knew that you would react that way. The thing is,
I asked my professor if they had any idea what homework would be in the future so I could get a jump on it now.
The thing is,
what else am I going to do on my Friday nights?
I've noticed, what am I talking about? I have some experience with the DSM just because I've always been kind of interested in it.
There's a whole chapter dedicated to you.
Yeah, dedicated to me. So when I started graduate school, I finally bought one. I didn't know why I didn't have one because I was always looking stuff up from it, like online and things. So I thought, wow, now I have a really good excuse to get one. And I intended to take a good look at it like the whole time since I've had it. We're not going to really cover the DSM in classes until later, but I'm just very interested in, you know, everything it has to say. So this 3 week period, I don't have a project to work on. I don't have WISP to work on because I finished the writing for that. Now I'm just kind of waiting on the website to get back to me with some art and stuff.
And you don't have any novels you need to reread.
I know. I need to do that too. But I just,
but first the DSM pick, for fun.
But I picked it up and couldn't put it down.
That sounds like something that should be in the DSM. I'll tell you what, when you go to Phoenix, you tell just, all your classmates that this is what you did over.
I will not do that. I will not do that.
Then you will not have any problem dealing with them because they will not hang out.
I know. That's why I'm not going to tell them. It's just something I've wanted to do for a long
time.
Have you
told your therapist you're just reading the DSM?
Yes. She thought
How
that was.
How did they react?
She thought that was pretty cool.
Oh, crap. You have a bad therapist. Oh, crap. All right. If you'd like to help stage an intervention for William, go to the blog, themagicaltalkinghat.com, because this ain't right. I feel better knowing you were reading the phone book or, you know, well, train spotting or something.
The point is, a lot of the stuff that I'm studying in graduate school are things that I'm really interested in, have been my whole life. So it's not like all of this is just work for a job or whatever. I mean, I'm interested, obviously, and I always have been. So it's kind of nice to be studying something in school that like you're really into, you know, that in your free time you're thinking about it or working on it, and you feel, you know, it feels recreational to work on it even when school's not in session. So
the only way I can condone this is if you start texting me things that you're like, I think you might have this. Like, I would be into that, but otherwise this is terrible. You therapy to live. You don't live to therapy.
It's just interesting. It's all interesting to me. Like I keep saying the textbooks so far in the class, one of the textbooks was not very well edited, but otherwise the textbooks have been so good and so interesting to read. The only thing I haven't liked about it is, you know, the pressure of having to read, you know, so many pages or chapters in a given period of time, and I can't really sit with it and absorb it the way I'd like. In fact, one of the things I'm going to do also, besides looking at the DSM, is I'm going to go back and look at some of the stuff from one of my classes, because the textbook is so good. I just kind of want to, you know, what is wrong with you? What's wrong with being interested in a subject enough to really kind of dig into it?
If there was a character who said the things you said, no one would buy it. Like, this, they'd be like, this is ridiculous. I'm going to reread my damn textbook.
I'm not going to reread all of it. In fact, I don't even know.
Oh, well, in that case,
I don't even know if I'll open it, because I made extensive notes on it while I was reading it. So I might just be able to get stuff from my notes, but I might have to crack it.
I mean, it's online though,
so I don't know if I can find
Steve Urkel bullshit I've ever heard.
I'm just interested, you know, I just like it. I don't know what to tell you.
I mean,
you read things. You read stuff about.
I know you're married, and I'm still like, I think I need to introduce him to the concept of girls. Like, I don't even know.
Listen, you've read books about different types of, you know, how to run role playing games and stuff, and you've talked about theories behind that. That's the same kind of thing. It's not that big a deal. People get interested in stuff like that.
No. I read the least I possibly can out of a role playing book, so that I can then role play it. I do not read them just for fun, and even then I don't read them hardly anymore.
Okay.
And this you're a mess.
I mean, back in the day when
are they gonna have lockers in Phoenix? Because I'm worried they're gonna shove you in a locker.
When I was in high school and college, especially college, when people I'd run into people and they wanted to know, oh, what's everybody reading? And everyone would mention some kind of fiction stuff. And then I would mention what I was reading. It was always nonfiction.
And everyone would get super quiet.
Kind of, yeah. I read all the wrong stuff.
Every once in a while, if someone was close enough, they would tentatively pat you on the head and be like, that's good, William.
School teachers loved me. Once I went to a place. I went to a place where.
That sentence. You don't even.
I went to this place and I was reading I had a calculus textbook. I was sort of trying to learn calculus from, which didn't really work very well, but I was trying. And it was somewhere where there were kids and teachers, like, I don't remember where it was. Some kind of camp situation. I don't maybe remember why I was there, but anyway, a teacher came up and said, "Oh, are you taking calculus in college?" I said, "No, I'm just trying to learn calculus." And she stopped and said, "Oh my gosh, kids, look at this guy over here. He's just trying to teach himself calculus. You should all be lifelong learners just like him." Oh, man, that was so funny.
I say this with love and as someone who was given a copy of the complete works of Shakespeare by a teacher because I refused to fight a bully. And who was thrilled, by the way. Your character is not believable and you need to rewrite it. And I mean that in every sense of the word character. Like, you might not be a real person. You might need to adjust your brain life to be, I don't even know.
I forgot that happened. That was
no funny. Movie could get away with having you in it. It would get,
are you sure?
I mean, I'm sure there solidly, are other people. You're solidly sitcom territory. you're the neighbor who, yeah.
I don't think that's true. I think there are a lot of people who. who like to learn things and they're
get who books self-teach and... calculus at camp.
It didn't work. I wish I knew.
Yeah, no, that's yes. There we go. There are plenty of the movies have movies about people who self-teach calculus at camp and it works. And that's the plot of the movie. And they are in history books and stuff. I guess you're right, though. I guess for every fucking beautiful mind or whatever, there's got to be like 12 yous.
Yeah. We think, oh, wow, this would be great. I'm going to learn this. And then I'm not really getting it.
William could stand, but he could not deliver.
Yeah.
Well, for every Jaime Escalante, there's a Willie Wright.
It was a church. It was a church thing, is what it was. I mean, I was an adult. I wasn't in camp. I was. I think.
I don't know why you think that makes it better.
I think. I think someone working there was someone I was picking up or something, giving him a ride. But I had to wait for them, and so I was reading my calculus.
Calculus.
And then one of the counselors / teachers came by. Oh, are you taking calculus? No, I just want to.
The worst part of it is this conversation alone, we have gone through like 40 great episode titles and I don't remember any of them. I feel like we've wasted a gold mine here.
Oh, well, that's life. How was your week?
I mean, better than that. And I was sick.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know you were sick. I'm sorry to hear that.
I think it was allergies. I don't know. The real shitty part of it is consequently I did not go to see my niece play the baker's wife in Into the Woods. And I am tremendously bummed about that. She was amazing. And as she always is. And Into the Woods, I'd say, is my favorite musical of all time. Baker's Wife might be my favorite part. I always say which because I feel like you're supposed to say which. Baker's Wife might edge it out. which is good, but Baker's wife might edge it out. So I'm very disappointed about that, and it was not a fun time. I think it was an hour, but it was just really bad, and so I just slept a lot. I am feeling better now. I've been careful this week. I didn't, well, gaming ended up not happening, but I was going to do it over Zoom, and I just picked up groceries and started shopping just in case I have something. But we took two different COVID tests, and both came back negative, so.
Okay.
Well, the second one came back negative. The first one, so when you have a COVID test, you're supposed to look at it after X number of minutes.
Okay.
But before Y number of minutes.
Oh.
And I fucked it up the first one. So okay. It said negative, but it was past the point at which we could trust it. So then the next morning, basically before Trish left, we took another one. So because if we didn't think I had COVID, but I felt bad enough I wasn't going. And if it had come back positive, Trish was also not going to be going.
Right.
But it came back. So, and I mean, it wasn't the right symptoms or anything. So, but just being careful. This is the thing I hope we all learn from the experience in general. You can just be a little more careful when you're sick. Like,
yeah, sure.
I hope this really, not that everybody didn't already know this a lot, but like a little preventative care to spread stuff can help a lot.
Yeah.
For and everything. Now that we all can work from home and shit, like, yeah, just yeah. do that. Yeah. Some. The mask being obviously. I feel like I'm the only fucking person out there still wearing a mask. Like when I go places, I do not see people wearing masks anymore.
Yeah, I don't either.
I do see some places, like my therapy clinic says you don't have to anymore. And nobody was, including my therapist. I had mine on, and when she came to get me in the waiting room, she's like, "Do you want me to put back?" I was like, "No, I was gonna take it off when we got to our office." So and like when I go to the gas station, some places, some of the employees are still wearing them. But again, that's starting to become the minority. And to be fair, I have it easy because most of the time I don't need to wear them. So like I put it on before I go into the convenience store and it's not a hardship for me. But I hate to say it, but like the pressure to not wear it is starting to creep up on me.
Mm.
I'm starting to get that, like, everybody's looking at me. And nobody has said boo. And I haven't said it, like, I am not at all having an issue with other people. Not, you know, I get it. You figured it out. And this is where we are with it. And everybody's on their different level. But I start to feel weird. I'm like, oh, I'm the weird guy still wearing a mask. And I worry that people are judging me by assuming I'm judging them for not.
Well.
And that's not. Like, and I'm not there's there yet, but
there's lots of places where I've gone without a mask. Mostly at first it was, oh, I don't have a mask on. And I didn't even think of it because nobody else did either. And then I would see someone with a mask and I'd go, oh my gosh, you know, I forgot to put a mask on. But it's not just that some people are wearing them and some people aren't. I'm not noticing any kind of weirdness. Like nobody seems to be weird toward a person wearing a mask or vice versa. It's just everybody understands. You're comfortable, you're not comfortable, that's all cool, which I think is neat because, you know, they've been doing, like in some countries that had like bad, you know, SARS outbreaks and stuff at previous times, you know, they started wearing masks and then you'll see, like when you watch the news, they show a scene on the street, some people wearing masks, some people aren't. And it's clearly a voluntary thing and some people feel comfortable with it and some people don't. But it's obviously not a thing anybody minds, you know.
Mm.
And I think that would be cool if we got to that place too, because I know a lot of people would have a reason to, whatever reason they have.
No, is their reason. I want us to adopt the I have a cold, I'm going to wear a mask thing.
And yeah, whatever. Or during flu season, more people wear masks or whatever. I think that's good.
There was a time before COVID when if you're the only one wearing a mask in a place of business, you are high on the list of suspicion for going to rob the place. Uh-huh. And I'm just worried we're going to get back to that point and I'm not prepared.
Well, I hope not.
I don't want to start getting profiled.
I like the idea of, you know, that even though nobody has to, you know, there's no mandates or whatever, that some people who feel like it's necessary or feel more comfortable feel like they can do that. And they're not, no one's going to give them a hard time. No one's going to look at them like they're weird. I mean, because I think that's important, because like you said, for some things, it's actually a very good strategy to prevent other people from getting sick or to prevent yourself from getting sick. So why not? I mean, there shouldn't be any problem with you doing it. And I hope it has been normalized to a degree where people can do it if they feel like they should. And, you know, now that we have masks in the house, I know there are going to be times where I feel like, well, I have it and I think it'll help. So I'm going to wear it. You know, I'm not going to have a problem with it if I feel like it's a good idea.
I think I am heading towards a sort of middle ground where when I go out, I won't have a mask on, but I'll do full clown makeup. So that's sort of in between.
Yeah, that's a good middle ground.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, I think you're that's good what at you're good at finding compromises like that.
Yeah. I'm like the Buddha in that way. What and exactly one other one.
Oh, that's a good one.
I've been see, there's a pattern here. There's
I wonder how I'm gonna guess
you laugh where it starts to get insulting, but then if you keep it up long enough, it just becomes funny again.
And I'm just
then,
thinking, yeah. when how am I gonna guess what that other thing is? Sorry.
We both smoked clove cigarettes when we were in high school. That's what it was. Famously.
Well, thanks for telling me. I never would
yeah, no, it's a, it's only for real Buddha heads, you know. That's what you call people who are big fans of the Buddha.
Title of the episode, Real Buddha Heads. I don't know. That's a good one.
I mean, it's so offensive to Buddhists, though. But like that's fun. So there's a on Taskmaster, season 5. The final task was a team task. And what it was they met this woman who they'd never seen before, and they had 10 minutes to essentially interview her and learn everything they could about her. And then they had to write and perform an original song about her. And the teams, because it's always 5 people, so there's always a team of 2 and a team of 3. And the team of 2 were Nish Kumar and Mark Watson, who were sort of the whipping boys of the whole season. They did not do well on things. And then the other team was Bob Mortimer and Sally Phillips and Ashton B. And so Mark Watson and Nish Kumar come out and they sing. The woman's name is Rosalind, and they sing this song. And actually Nish played guitar and Mark drummed, and they did this really, really nice sort of boppy singer-songwriter vibe called I'm Always Seeing You Do Cool Stuff. And it was a very much a love song in a way, but it was talking about how much they sort of admired her, but like they couldn't ever match up to it. And it was quite funny, and it was good musically, which was very surprising. And everybody loved it. It was great. And then the other 3 came out, and they didn't play things, they just had backtracking, and they did cool harmonies and stuff. Their song, I believe the title of the song was Quite Good Considering. And it included at the point, like at the climax of the song, they all sang the line to her face. She's in the audience, just her. And they said, well, they sang things like Rosalind is a thief, Rosalind's a nightmare thing throughout the song. And then at one point, yeah, they all sing together in just huge harmonious chorus, Rosalind is a fucking nightmare. And I bring this up because I'm feeling a similar position to how the Taskmaster felt at that moment, where he's like, this song was beautiful and they did so well and it's great. But I also really love that these people would say to this kind 60-some-year-old woman to her face that she's a fucking nightmare. It's the same thing. I'm like, real Buddha heads seem super offensive to Buddhism.
Yeah, probably. That's
but I also, it's kind of like making fun of the Amish. Like, if anybody shouldn't give a shit. Like, that's the thing. I would say, if you are Buddhist and you are offended by us saying real Buddha heads, you might be a bad Buddhist.
Man. That so sounds like a good title too. You might
we're
be
doubling, we're doubling down on this pretty hard now. Trish for a long time would call herself a bad Buddhist because she was into Buddhism and like found it a good ideal, but like very little managed to make it into her life. And she was always keenly aware of like, so she's like, I'm a terrible Buddhist. I think I'm the only person who converted to Buddhism in junior high, which is like the worst time to be Buddhist. Or for like a year and a half. Well, I mean, yeah, it's the best time you should. It is the hardest time to be Buddhist. There are points in your life in which it is easier to be Buddhist.
Okay.
Junior high is at the bottom of the list.
Bad time to be
bad time to be Buddhist. Oh fuck. I mean, it has to be, right? It has to be. That's one of those, like, we just said the title. Like, we didn't even make the decision. We said it and we already know that's the title. Like, we don't get a vote. The universe has decided. All right. I have still been playing a frankly ridiculous amount of Final Fantasy 14. I am inches away from the first sort of expansion to it, and I'm very excited about that. It opens up a whole new area and stuff like that, so that's cool. And I feel like I'm getting decent at it, which is weird because a lot of it is playing dungeons with other people. But and to be fair, this game is really designed so like you don't have to be real good at it. It's not a hardcore kind of game. But at first I was like, I suck, and now I'm like, I don't think I suck, which is interesting. But yeah, there's not a lot interesting to say on that. We are still watching Severance. We are still watching season 3 of Ghosts, which I wasn't enjoying season 3 as much, but I really liked the last episode. It was the camping episode, and I did enjoy that. And we're still watching Owl House on occasion. All of the Netflix shows and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. just went to Disney Plus. So now they are nicely consolidated. I am almost caught up on Bob's Burgers, which I'm not sure what I'm going to do with my life after that. I'm kind of concerned. I do love this, though. I've done this before to Trish. So last night, Trish is like, let's watch an episode of Bob's Burgers. She doesn't watch regularly, but she's like, I don't have to pay a lot of attention. It's a good last thing to watch sort of before bed. So I was like, sure. And I turned it on. And it's an episode that's referencing something earlier. And so I pause it and I'm like, okay, this came up in an earlier episode where it's this. And then finally I was like, fuck, we're watching that earlier episode because I actually think you'll like it better. So then we had to find it and it was a couple seasons back and I played that for her. And then afterwards I was like, now do you want to watch the new one? She's like, yes. Yeah, so but still a great show. I love that show. I am just killing time now. Because we only got 2 damn emails and I'm scared to use them. So we need more people. Don't make me be scared. I don't like it. Scares me.
Yeah, he's not good at freeing himself from his attachments. It's just a bad time to be a Buddhist.
I knew you were gonna go there. I didn't see a clear path, but I was like, that won't stop William. All right. Here we go. So, weirdly, I know we talk about putting a lot less effort in this show, but apparently I've been getting our listener names wrong. All this time, when I've been bitching about Azure Talent, I get the name wrong. It's actually the one that goes by Jasmine. She's the one that annoys the show. Turns out the actual Azure Talent is just some dude named Bill. Like, I don't even know what that's about. So, but I finally figured it out when she was talking about liking a ghost story in The Green Knight. I was like, I read the username and I was like, oh, fuck, I've been getting it wrong all this time. So, yeah. Anyway, this is from Jazz. The subject is ... discuss ... I'm confused by the initial ... so I feel like she paused before she started and then paused after.
I think she was verklempt, so she
It does have that feeling of like she could barely type the subject.
Yeah.
All right. So, I think I get it. It says, since politics is generally a mess at the moment, especially in this country, don't know what country she's in, but I agree. What are some non-violent ways to address general social problems that bypass politics?
I mean, she's clearly trying to make it easier to be a Buddhist. That's what she's doing here. I don't know if it's going to work.
I find this interesting because I immediately want to argue with a whole bunch of the phrasing, which is not useful. But I'm like, bypassing politics is impossible. And da, 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 da. But I get. I'm going to say bypassing the political process.
Correct.
And the political, the mainstream political debate.
You're not going to write your congressperson about this. It's not about voting or advocating for a particular politician. It's about doing something outside of that context.
Yeah. And is it you personally doing something? Because like the way I've gotten around a lot of it is I can't cope with dealing with the politics, so I find organizations that can and I give them money. So I'm essentially paying others to fight my battles for me. But that is not bypassing politics so much as that is just contracting it out. I still believe in it wholeheartedly. These are people who have the mental fortitude I don't to be able to do this. And also the resources and the knowledge to do it more effectively than I ever would. So I give them money to fight the good fight because I would fight it badly. But it is not the same as bypassing politics. I mean, to me, immediately it's a grassroots thing. The way to eliminate the politics is to eliminate the abstraction in between. So dealing with homelessness while bypassing politics, build a house and give it to somebody. I think you can, and in some cases you can go somewhere. Habitat for Humanity. I do not think there are a lot of people who are like, fuck those guys. I feel like Habitat for Humanity overall is not considered fringe either way. I think a wide swath of the political spectrum is cool with that.
Seems like it.
That is a good organization. you know, a lot of my mother actually a while back was like, I am going to stop donating money to charities that are more abstract. My money is going to go exclusively to charities that have practical impact. So like, she stopped donating to various arts foundations and started donating to local food banks. And I think there is a component of that, but I would say local is a big thing. There is, in a lot of cases, there is not a lot of politics tied into your locally positioned and locally focused charities. More often they are specifically about doing the thing, feeding the homeless, housing the homeless, killing the spiders. I don't know what charities do.
Well,
okay. Sorry. Sheltering the spiders away. I don't know.
There was paying a time where I was sort of in charge in the church I was in. I was sort of in charge of outreach and things. And so we did a lot of things you're talking about. We were mostly concerned about, you know, we defined a particular area, a geographical area of influence where we felt like, okay, these people are sort of within our sphere of influence, you know, that where we could reasonably, any outreach efforts we have could reasonably address whatever their needs are. And so, and we were concerned with, as a church, we were concerned with, you know, people having available food, food, clothing, and shelter. And that's the main thing we thought about. So we did food drives. We did volunteer work at various local places, like you said, that were providing direct aid to people who needed things. The people on our team got Red Cross training so that if there was a disaster or something, we'd go out and help with that.
Red Cross, another one that is by and large accepted by both sides of the political spectrum.
And you can find a local chapter almost anywhere. And
I got one in the kitchen.
And there are things that the Red Cross, there are things they do that, I mean, it's not just when there's a, like a major disaster or something, there's all kinds of things they do and that you can take part in. So a lot of people don't realize how many local volunteer or donation opportunities there are where the work you're doing or the donation you're giving is going to go to local, like you said, local people. And that's probably, again, as you said, that's probably the best way to feel like what you're doing or donating is absolutely going to people that you're trying to help. Once you get out of the local situation, you know, a lot of times you can't volunteer because whatever they're doing is in far-flung places. And also you don't know where the money's going really. And there's going to be a lot of administrative costs. And it gets
really hard. There's sort of a converse to not in my backyard. Putting money into your local community, people in your local community are largely going to be in favor of that. As soon as you start talking about a place far away, the politics re-enters it kind of whether you like it or not, because there are going to be some people that are like, why is that my problem?
Yeah, exactly. I think there's also
and
things.
So that becomes a thing. Like, as much as there are things locally here that we could do that could help out, everyone in Iowa City is by and large better off than everyone in, you know, Southern Sudan, that kind of thing.
Sure.
But I think at that point we can't, I mean, it becomes a little tricky as to what you want to do for helping, what social problems you want to help with and what society we're talking about.
But then there are, like, if you want to address things like climate change, well, obviously that's not just a local issue, but there are things you can do in your own life. It could be
if they would listen to my bubble proposal.
There are things you can do in your own life to, you know, reduce your carbon footprint or, you know, make your house more energy efficient. I mean, there's just, you know, that's something that we, that everyone can pay attention to in their personal choices and also in how they run their households. There are some things you can do, and there's lots of, and if you want to know what those things are, there's lots of resources online that give good advice about that. I would suggest that you do research on whatever it is, because when you go looking for things online, as we all know, you're going to find a lot of things that are presented in a particular light. So you might want to be sure that you
check, write a lot of them.
That you check sources or investigate certain things that people tell you to do that they think is going to be helpful to the environment or whatever. But there are things, and are there good sources you can find that'll help you, you know, manage your household or your personal life in a way that you can feel a little bit better about its impact on the environment.
Yes. And while I absolutely think that is something people should do, and that is a good cause and a good way to handle it locally while still acting bigger, I don't think it falls into what Jazz is asking about, because I hate to say it, but climate change is by definition a political issue, because a surprisingly large number of people are like, yeah, that's all bullshit.
Well,
so
they're
kind of like, even, I don't know, there's a way to help with vaccination issues while keeping politics out of it these days, because a lot of people consider that politics.
Right. But I mean, okay, that's a perfectly good example, climate change. Are there people who are denying it? Yeah. But I think the major problem is that the people who aren't denying it still can't all agree on, you know, which model of the future is the most reasonable one, which things to do about are the most reasonable ones. I mean, there's plenty of disagreement just between people who do agree that it's happening, but what should we do about it? And you're right, that's a problem.
I am not speaking in terms of whether or not it is an advisable idea or anything like that. I'm speaking purely as a thought experiment within the confines of Jazz's email.
Yeah, you're probably right about that.
And this is the thing, and I can't remember, but somebody pointed it out one time, like, people who are political junkies, people who like to like follow politics and talk about politics, and how some of us, like me, can't even cope with that. It's because everyone seems to have two categories, one called politics and one called real life. And it's actually one thing, and it's just where you put the line. So if it's an issue that doesn't impact you very personally, it's just politics, and you can just debate for fun all you want. But then other times you're like, yeah, no, I don't want to debate this, because this isn't politics, this is real life. And so, like, there's a lot of old dudes out there who wouldn't have the capacity, let alone the inclination, let alone the opportunity, to get someone pregnant, who are happy to debate abortion all day long. And then there's other people for whom it's a real issue who are like, no. And people like me who also, I'm not getting nobody pregnant, but I'm like, no, that's not, we cannot agree to disagree on certain aspects of that. And it's the same thing, like climate change, within the confines of what Jazz says, I don't think you can do anything about climate change. Because people have made it into politics, and it shouldn't be. We can discuss the politics of how to solve it, because people do have a lot of differing ideas. But the fact that we're not all on the same page, like, this is something we fucking, this is a problem that needs to have a solution, is insane to me. And I'm like, I can't / won't debate that, because I'm like, no, it's not. It shouldn't be a debate. And the fact that it is, like, I'm gonna punch you in the face. Like, I can't be like, oh, let's discuss the pros and cons. No. It's a real fucking thing.
So you obviously are of the impression that there's a very significant number of people who don't think it's a thing.
Well, there's a loud number who have a lot of money and influence, which unfortunately nowadays seems to have more social cachet than a large number of people.
Hmm.
I'm saying that there are people who are very wealthy, very influential, and not ostracized, who go on to television and other places and say it's bullshit. And there are people who are still having majorly successful careers in Hollywood, where they are seen by all sorts of people and get paid millions of dollars, who say shit like vaccines cause autism.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of people like that in Hollywood who say crazy things. That's always been true. But
yeah, I hear what you're saying. Like, it doesn't become an issue if it's just Terrence Howard telling everyone one times one is two. Then it's funny. I would love to debate that with him. But like, people who have genuine influence, people who are listened to by large swaths of the population. I mean, the Fox News all by itself renders so many things that should not be up for political debate, things that are constantly under political debate. And I think there are very few social problems that at this point we can even achieve consensus on acknowledging them as a problem. And I think this is a problem. Unfortunately, it seems like William doesn't agree. So, see, we're stuck.
Well, it's not...
Because we can't achieve consensus.
I don't... I'm not...
On whether or not the problem of not having a problem is a problem. Problem.
A lot of times... Well, for one thing, apparently, you know, I've really narrowed down the information that I get to very few things. So there's a lot of stuff.
A very small fire hose.
There's just a lot of things that I don't hear or pay attention to or anything else. So when I hear from sources that I would categorize as on the right or that I would categorize as on the left, and they're both saying the same, you know, they're both at least starting in the same place. I just, in my head, that's just where the debate starts. So I don't, none of the like sort of libertarian or even some of the, I guess, conservative sources that I can read and get something out of are saying that, say, climate change isn't real. So yep. To me, nobody's saying that, but yeah. I mean, they probably are.
Well, because you presumably don't read sources that you are almost certain are full of shit.
Well, right.
But you should also, I assume, be aware of and acknowledge that there are sources that you are pretty sure are full of shit that are still quite popular and widely consumed.
I mean, I suppose so. I mean, I'm not disbelieving what you're saying. I'm just saying that I don't have anything in my own experience lately to tie it to.
And I don't read anything, so...
But but what I notice is a lot of times that, I mean, at least in the stuff I'm looking at, the issue with social problems is not so much agreeing on whether or not a thing is a problem, but agreeing on how it should be addressed. And you've got,
yes.
And the main debate is, well, should government handle it at all, first of all? And second of all, if government should handle it, what level of government? Yep. Which is that's always been debated in the United States. And there's more contentious disagreement about that now than there used to be, where people could compromise in the past, but now they're like taking these extreme views about it.
To the degree that I don't think there's consensus on what's the problem. I think it has gotten to that point.
Hmm.
I mean, it would be great if we could focus on, like, if we could all agree what's a problem, then we can start debating how to fix it. But there's stuff that we're like, no, it's not a problem at all.
Okay, let me give you an example. So, sometimes it won't be a very specific example, but this is the kind of thing I'm talking about. Sometimes, so the problem X will be presented, right? And one side will say, we need to pass this law to take care of problem X.
Yeah.
And the other side says,
I'm not understanding your concept. Your concept is incredibly clear.
But let me finish my example.
Okay. Okay.
Just so I know that what I'm talking about. And the other
not having
the other group says, no, we should not have a law to address X. Now, the problem as I see it is what happens next is the group that wants the law thinks that the group that doesn't want the law doesn't believe the problem exists or doesn't want to solve the problem or gains financially from the problem existing. Yes. When this group isn't saying any of those things, they're just saying they don't think a law will solve the problem.
Yes.
And so then
what I am saying is there are lots of people out there who are widely consumed and widely respected by large portions of the population who say in explicit terms, X is not real.
Well, I mean, I suppose that must
climate happen. Change is a great example. There are legitimately famous and popular people who are listened to as though they know what they're talking about by large portions of the population who say climate change is not real. It is made up.
And you think they're carrying the conversation more than the people who are agreeing that there's a problem, but just disagreeing on what to do about it?
Not at all. But they are there enough that now we have to debate this.
Hmm.
What I'm saying is you can't keep the politics out of it because there are people who are like, no, it's not real. So you're just pushing your weird agenda by trying to convince me it's real.
But I mean, for that to be true, those people who are deniers of whatever they're deniers of, they've got to have a pretty significant audience though. I mean, right?
Yep. Yep. Hmm.
Interesting.
And I don't have any numbers. I just see them a lot on television and I hear about them a lot. And I know people who believe in them. And I mean, here's the thing. It is possible this doesn't happen anymore since Thanksgiving.
Oh, I see.
I mean, I don't even know how to, I mean, it's just, to me, it is so Ted Cruz, Donald Trump, Tucker Carlson, the entirety of Fox News, Jean Pirro or whatever, that handful of people right there have hundreds of thousands of people that hang on their every word, that believe what they say, and a bunch of other people who believe it, but they haven't even thought about it. They just sort of assume that's correct. I mean, like, right there, it becomes an issue. It's great if we can just talk about it amongst ourselves that don't feel that way. But if you're trying to do stuff in society and your society includes those people, I think it is almost impossible to get the politics out of it. And again, I'm not saying we shouldn't do anything. Again, I'm talking about what Jazz is asking.
Yeah, 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 I get it.
How to deal with social problems while keeping the political debate out? And what I'm saying is we are at a point where there are very few social problems that our society will concede as a group are social problems. And if you know what they are, I would love for the listeners to go on the blog and tell us things that they think. We can pretty much say anybody you're going to run into on the street or whatever will agree that's a problem. And I personally don't think climate change is one. I think there is still a surprising number. I'm not saying they're the majority, but I think there is a statistically significant number of people who are like, that's not real. We don't have to do anything. It's not a problem.
Well, and see, in fact,
your attempts to solve the fake problem are just impeding usually jobs. I think jobs is the
word. Well, and that's the thing that, you know, a lot of people need to sort of realize about how our society works. And as you just said, it doesn't take a majority of people to sort of mess the rest of it up. It really only takes 15, 20%. I mean, a really small number, but like you said, a statistically significant number.
And where the money is and where the
that's right.
Messages.
Yeah.
If one person is loud enough, fuck everything up. Here's the thing. So when Russia invaded Ukraine, a friend of mine, because I check Facebook each day just to see if I have messages, but I usually see what the first couple of things are. A friend of mine posted a thing where they changed their image and was like, I stand with Ukraine.
Okay.
And I was annoyed on a level of that such slacktivism, because I always am when anybody does anything political on Facebook. But beyond that, I was like, why? Who's not standing with Ukraine? This is ridiculous. Russia just arbitrarily invaded them with no grounds for it. Who the hell is not? And then I slowly found out later that there are people in this country, including famous people and people with large audiences and influences, who didn't stand with Ukraine. And some, it's growing less, but some who continue not to stand with Ukraine. And to me, that was not a thing. I'm like, who's like, no, it totally makes sense that Russia should go in and fucking invade. What? But apparently, yes, that's a thing.
That's a thing.
So like, there's one right there. Here's the social problem. Somebody's fucking invading somebody else's country for no good reason and with no legal grounds whatsoever. What can we do about it without involving politics? Nothing, because it's a political thing, because a statistically significant number of fucking idiots somehow think it's cool. I did not realize Steven Seagal had such a following, but he's the only person I can think of who would be into it. But apparently a bunch of other people are into it. No.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I didn't find it that surprising, but mostly because the people who I saw who were on Russia's side, I mean, man, many of them were Russians.
Well, yes, yes.
Or whatever.
I'm cutting those people. I'm talking about American people and American celebrities and things like that, which, to be fair, then we have to throw Steven Seagal because I think he's technically a Russian citizen now. But also, let's just throw Steven Seagal out of everything. I just put it in there because it's the only celebrity I can think of who's like super into Putin other than Trump, obviously.
Sure. But I mean, there are also people who I've, you know, followed or that are in different, sometimes they're on news programs I watch or whatever, who've been critical of NATO for years, you know, and saying, yeah, hey, we're just poking the bear here with this NATO stuff. And so then when Russia finally did things, see, I told you so. And they're not really for it, but they're,
yeah,
they think that it's justified in a way. So I mean,
if it's predictable, too. Like I could have predicted it and I can come up with some reasons why I think Putin's doing it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It doesn't mean there is a possible leg to stand on to justify it.
No, is in leak and on a legal level, especially.
And on an ethical level.
Right. But I'm just saying that there's, it wouldn't matter if you thought that it was logical or rational for him to feel threatened by the West and everything. It doesn't justify violating another country's sovereignty.
That's what I'm saying. It's bizarre to me that people in good faith can debate whether or not it's justified.
Yeah.
And it didn't occur to me that it would, like, there are some people that will say it that I'm like, yeah, that's not in good faith. You're doing it because you're going to make money on it or because you already did make money on it. But that other people who don't have like direct benefit from it are like, no, I can see why this would be justified and it should be okay. It makes no sense to me. And yet
there is sort of a weird group of, I mean, a weird phenomenon in the United States of people where people seem to admire Putin because of the way he does things, like, kind of like they admire political strongmen or whatever. And he's one of those. So they admire him. I think there is a little bit of that among some Americans,
which makes it all the worse. Cause he's just as shitty as a lot of people we have here, but way more effective at being shitty.
Which isn't something to admire, but some people do admire it.
This dude makes me like Boris Johnson because at least he manages to do a lot less damage with his idiocy.
I have
still
to damage, admit,
still awful. Still would be great if they all died in fire. But
I have to admit, I was surprised that he did it. I mean, I thought it was all just talk and bluster whenever he talked about stuff like that or whatever.
Except
I didn't think he'd do it.
Did it once. That's the problem.
Well, that's true. We should.
And that's what I love, by the way. how long has it been since anybody have fucking talked about that? He didn't exactly give it back.
Yeah, yeah.
He's had the Crimea, and we all just decided, eh, whatever. But yeah, we're off. Just, we are, as my friend would say, descending into discourse instead of keeping it meta discourse. And also, we're over time. And also, this is not nearly as much fun as teasing the Buddhists. So we're going to wrap it up here. Please send us more emails. You know there's some shit that you want to hear the two of us talk about just because you think it'd be funny to make us talk about it. Hell, Charlie Sheen, whatever. Send us something. Charlie Without Sheen. Content, we shrivel and die. And we have all of our financial well-being is invested in this show making money, so you need to help us. So write in. Also, yeah, seriously, go to the blog, magicaltalkinghat.com. If you think you have a social issue that one can basically avoid political debate as to whether or not it's actually a problem, because I'm very curious. I'm sure there are some. I mean, I'm a fucking mess. So,
well,
I see everything is on fire. So I would love to hear.
Like, I feel like I have a medical condition that requires that I don't eat. I stay far away from wherever those people are. So well, I'm not going to know.
The good news is
what's going on with those people.
The good news is any minute now, you're going to know what that medical condition is. Because you're reading the DSM. So full circle, you fucking loon. But write in themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Go to the blog, themagicaltalkinghat.com. And again, listen next week. And also, I'm sorry I made fun of you guys. Please don't stop listening. I need you to stay around. Please don't go anywhere.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.